Good morning. It's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to have my husband here with me. It's not often that me and my husband can be together without any children. We can just talk and no interruptions. It was really good driving here and being here together. So thank you so much for having us. Is this too loud? I don't know, you should say. Okay. So I have a message that I'm really trusting God to speak into our hearts. I've learned over the years that only God and only the Spirit of God can change people's hearts, and only God can really bring us to become better people. We can help each other to become worse, or the enemy can do that for us, and we can help each other to become better. But to really, really change, we need the Spirit of God. We cannot actually do that for ourselves or for each other. So it's wonderful to be a vessel, but that really is all that we are when we preach. And it's a humble place, actually. So I had to laugh this morning when the gentleman who was speaking about the offering, when he said patience is a virtue, because we used to know these people, and they had a little girl. And you know how children test your patience constantly. Day in and day out, they teach you patience. And her mother used to tell her, patience is a virtue. But she got the word wrong, so she always said patience is a virgin, which it is. It is. So on that topic, I'd like to read a verse from Song of Solomon, and whenever we do that, then everybody's getting very uncomfortable. But don't fear, you don't have to be uncomfortable. I want to speak about surrendering this morning, and I want to read from Songs 2, verse 7. Promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right. Now, Anton and I are going to a wedding on Thursday, and we are very excited because we used to live in Poch, and there's a couple there. We used to know them since they were about 12 years old. And they were in Anton's youth group, and he really became a spiritual father to them, in a sense. And they started having a relationship, and the lady was already out of school, and the boy was still in school. And we all told her, rather don't do it. You know, he's still young, and it's just a phase, and he's very attractive, and you are just taken by his good looks. And she said, this is the man for me, and I will pursue a relationship with him. And now it's about, I don't know, perhaps 6, 7, I don't know how many years later, and they are getting married on Thursday. So it's very special to us. We are really looking forward to that. Which brings me to the scripture in Jeremiah 33, verse 11. It speaks about joy and laughter, and it says, the sounds of joy and laughter, the joyful voices of bridegrooms and brides will be heard again. It speaks about the restoration of Jerusalem. But we all know that a wedding is a joyful occasion, and the ones that are most excited is obviously the bride and the bridegroom. And we don't speak about these things because it's holy and sacred and private, but we all know why they are so excited. And we all know that when we all leave and the party's over, that they are going to be together, and they are going to surrender to each other, and that is going to be a beautiful thing. And the Word of God says there with this opening scripture, do not awaken love until it pleases, which is a powerful scripture when we speak about sexual purity. But what we can know from a couple that gets married is that on that first evening of their wedding, the time came for that woman to completely and absolutely surrender to that man. And that is a beautiful thing. And when God comes to us, and I want to read from Isaiah 64, verse 8. And you, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay, you our potter, and we are all formed by your hand. And when we come to that place where we give our lives to God, where we become truly born again, we need to learn how to surrender, just like that honeymoon couple. The more that woman can surrender to that man, the more blessed their relationship will be, if it is a godly man. And, you know, when I think about clay, my children have clay, and ever so often they don't put it away again. And I don't clean after them anymore because they should know how to do that by now. And then that clay becomes hard. And when they want to play with that clay again, that clay does not surrender. And they cannot make anything with it. And eventually we just have to throw it away. And when God says, I am the potter and you are the clay, He has a desire for us, being the clay, to surrender to His hands, to be soft in His hands, to allow Him to shape us and to form us. And we all know that if we are pressed from every side, that's what a child does with a piece of clay. It presses that piece of clay from every side. It is not necessarily comfortable or enjoyable. That's just the way life goes. And God says, I want you to trust me because I need to form you and shape you. And the more you allow me to do that, the more beautiful vessel I can create. But the harder you are, the longer it will take. And it all depends on us and not on God. How long will it take for us, for God to shape us into what He wants us to be? And it's a continuous process. But it depends on us how long it will take, depending on how much we allow God to shape us. In other words, how much are we willing to surrender? And living a life for God is all about surrendering. I've been in churches where there were some beautiful sermons, and a lot of what those sermons says were, I suppose, is true. But you know, to hear gospel that says, it is great, it is good, it is the best. You wake up in the morning and you put on that smile because it will go well with you and you will conquer. Yes, that is true. But let's just be real. You will be pressed from every side. Go and look at the book of Acts. Go and look at the apostles and the disciples. They did not wake up putting their best smile on and walking into their workplace. They sat in prison after they were tortured. They didn't have to decide to put a smile on. They had a deep, deep knowledge of God. And it kept them going. And yes, they smiled. But it came from a deep place of knowing, even though I am pressed from every side, I have to surrender. My joy is in the surrendering. And I want to use a couple of examples from the Word of God just to teach us how to surrender. Because wherever we are in our journey with God, it will always be defined by this one thing. How much can I surrender to what God wants to do in my life? Because everything that He wants to do will be a place where I need to lay down, die to self, and the real freedom is in that. The real freedom, the real liberty, the real joy is in being able to surrender. That's the beauty of it. That's the place where we can soar like eagles because we trust in God. Not no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. And the first scripture that I want to read again from the Song of Solomon's, verse 10 and verse 13. My lover said to me, this is one of the most beautiful scriptures. I know the women love this scripture. It's a very popular one for all the romantics here. My lover said to me, rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one. The fig trees are forming young fruit, and the fragrant grapevines are blossoming. Rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one. Come away. The first thing that God wants us, and I'm only speaking about a couple of things this morning, is He wants us to surrender our hearts. When God says, I want you, He means I want all of you. The word also in Song of Solomon says, there is a love, there is a jealousy fiercer than the grave. There's a desire in God's heart. He wants us all for Himself, first and foremost. And many of us will experience a lot of pain in our lives because we will not give all of ourselves to God. We only want to give bits and pieces. And God says, I am a jealous God. I want all of you. Just like a husband wants all of his wife, not only some of his wife. And with God, it's much more, it's a higher level. He wants our emotions. He wants our desires. He wants our conversation. He wants our time. He wants us to get quiet with Him. He wants us just to sit in His presence all alone, ever so often, as far as possible. He wants our dreams. He wants all of us. He wants our bodies as a living sacrifice. And how do we do that? Because I know, for many of us, we know this, but we don't actually know how to do it. I think I have discovered how to do this. I have learned in my life, and I'm sure some of you here will agree, the place where I really meet God, where intimacy with God is at its best, at its closest, is when I bring a sacrifice of praise. It is those times when I do not know, and when I do not understand, and when I have many questions, and when I am really hurting, and I can say, God, yet I will praise you, yet I will trust you, yet I will call out to you, yet I will come into your presence. That is a place of intimacy. I believe that is abiding and hiding in the shadow of the Most High. It is like, I love it with our children when sometimes we need to discipline them, unfortunately. And we have a wooden spoon, which is, I don't know if it's against the law yet. Was li yaku is it all teni vet? You know, and it's interesting when we use the wooden spoon, which we really use responsibly and compassionately and carefully most of the time. When we use the wooden spoon, it is amazing to see how that child that has been disciplined will come to us afterwards and sit on our lap and just love on us. Are there parents here who have experienced this? Yes, some children not. We have one little boy who will not do that. It will take him about 2 or 3 hours. But the rest will all do it sort of immediately. That is a place of trust. It is a place of not understanding fully, but trusting fully. Can I say that again? A place of not understanding fully, but trusting fully. Our children know how much we love them. They just know it. And when we discipline them, and who can enjoy, being hit by a wooden spoon on your behind is really not something that anybody can enjoy. But yet, they will come to us, and they will draw near to us. Why? Because there's a sense of trust, and a sense of love, and a sense of closeness.
And in the same way, God says, I want your heart. And the best way to give our hearts to God is to love Him when we don't feel like it. We will meet Him in that place of pain. And God says, I want you to surrender your heart. It's easy to give our hearts when things are going well. I always look at the couples. We have in the evenings, we have all the students there in Stellenbosch. And many of them are in love with somebody and in a relationship with somebody. You must watch somebody who is in love, how they worship when we sing in church. They jump up and down. They cannot stop speaking about the goodness of God and how great God is. You know, this couple that is getting married, you know, they are just so happy. But I want to see you do that when you lost your job, when you have no money, when you are in a broken relationship, when your parents are getting divorced. When you have to walk away from something that you want with all of your heart, that is the place where we will grow and where we will know God and where He will know us in a very intimate way. And that is the place where God can start to raise us up, to use us in that thing that He has called us for. It will never happen in the comfort zone. And to surrender your heart when it hurts, that will cause you to know God. Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood, saying, God, I do not want to go through with this. That is like, who of you have children, women, ladies? Who of you have children? I think most of them are sitting there. Okay, a couple of us. That is like when the contractions start before you have a baby, especially the first baby, and you start realizing that this is going to hurt. And then you go, I remember when I had my first baby and this started and I realized, man, this is going to be so sore. And I repeatedly told the gynecologist, I do not want pain relief. I do not want pain relief. Now, beforehand, I mean. I want to do this El Naturel. And these contractions started, and I went to the bathroom, and I locked the door, and I sat down, and I said, God, please, I cannot go through with this. I do not want to go through with this. Please, can you do something for me? But there was nothing that God could do because, you know, the baby has to come out some other way. And in the same way, Jesus was saying, I cannot go through with this. But right then and there, He surrendered His heart. He said, not my will, but your will. And because of that, we can all be here, and we can be forgiven, and we can have eternal life. But He had to surrender the deepest places of His heart. The next scripture that I want to read is from Luke 1, verse 38. Speaks about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And Mary said, after the angel came to her, and he said to her, you will have a baby out of wedlock. You will fall pregnant without ever being with a man. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary must have been an incredibly brave young lady. Do you think anybody believed her? When she started showing this pregnancy, when everybody could see that she's pregnant, and everybody knows, how could this happen? And she says, this was not Joseph, this was not any man, this was God. Do you think anybody believed her? I mean, God Himself had to tell Joseph, otherwise it would never work out. Mary, and in those times, it was not like today when you are just frowned upon. You were judged severely. Mary had to do something extremely hard. I often speak about Mary. She's such an example to me. And she had to follow through. She had to raise the son that at a later stage, at a wedding, somebody said to him, your mother and your brothers are here. And he said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? I would be very hurt if one of my five children that I work so hard at raising well and loving and sacrificing for, if they say, who is my mother, I will be truly offended. I am the one who gave birth to you. It started there already. It was hard. Mary had a difficult road. And then eventually, she had to see her son hang on that cross, the cruelest death up until date. It is the cruelest way to die like that on a cross. It was sheer suffering. But Mary knew that she should surrender her rights. Her right to a normal wedding. Her right to a normal pregnancy. Her right to be a normal wife and a normal mother and have normal circumstances. None of us were called to normal. Can I say that again? None of us were called to normal. We are a peculiar people. We should make a peace with it. We are different. And what God calls us to, well, I don't want to use the word force because God never forces us. But when we choose that, in a sense, it will force us to surrender our rights. We have no rights because we gave it over to God. And I remember a time in my life, I had five babies in a space of 7 years. And the year before that, I had two miscarriages. So I was pregnant for a very long time, was breastfeeding for a very long time, and I had toddlers for a very long time. And I remember being exhausted for a couple of years because of sleep deprivation, just completely exhausted. And having to cook and provide for a family, I also worked. I had to go to work. I didn't really have much help domestic-wise. And I remember from time to time complaining with God and saying, I also have a right to rest. I also have a right to put my feet up and read a book. I also have a right to just sit and eat without having to go through so much trouble to first cook and then dish up for a million people. And God, just in his gentle, loving, kind way, telling me, you surrendered your life to me, and I will decide about your life. And one time when I was really throwing my toys out of the cot, God said, okay, good, I will tell you why. Why you have to, and I said, yes, please do. It will make it a lot easier. And God said, I am training your hands for battle. I am training your fingers for war. I am preparing you. I am making you strong. I am building your character. You want this big anointing. You want to preach and you want people to just become saved when your shadow falls on them. You need to grow a character that can carry that type of anointing. You need to surrender your rights and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And He will give you rest. And He will give you peace. And He will provide for you. But you surrender. You surrender your right. Let me just mention this. To take offense. Oh. We all take offense. Offense is hurt. That's what it is. We all take offense from time to time. But then we give it to God. We don't walk away because we have surrendered. And one of the things that we have surrendered is our right to hold a grudge. Because the Word of God says, forgive 77 times 7. So I will walk in love because I have no right. Because I gave it up. Let's move on. I'm reading from 1 Samuel 1 verse 10. And this was a lady called Hannah. She was desperate to fall pregnant. But she could not fall pregnant. There might be some of you here. Maybe you are not desperate to fall pregnant, but maybe you are desperate for something else, and it simply just is not happening. There are things that I'm desperate for, and God is not giving it to me. Many of us are desperate for something, and when nobody is looking, we are in our rooms or wherever we are, all alone, and we are sobbing before God, begging God for that one thing that we are desperate for. Here was Hannah in the temple, nobody else apart from the prophet. And she's the priest. And she's there in front on her knees. And she's so desperate. She's sobbing so much. The priest thinks that she's drunk. He says to her, "Why are you here in such a state? It's not a place to be when you are drunk." I am sure that most of us that are sitting here have been in this place in our lives. Mostly when nobody is looking. Perhaps in the car, driving somewhere. Sobbing before God as if you are drunk. Desperate before God. Desperate. Because the pain is unbearable. The pain in Hannah's heart was unbearable. Listen what the scripture says. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she cried out to the Lord. We should surrender our desires to God. We should not suppress them. We should not ignore them. I've tried to ignore some desires. Maybe if I ignore them, they will go away. Guess what? They don't. It's like fasting and telling yourself, "I'm not hungry." Be honest with yourself. You are extremely hungry. Deal with the reality. Denial doesn't help much. And when we have desires, we need to surrender them to God, not by saying, "God, I will not have this desire any longer. I've tried it. It doesn't work." But by saying, "God," like Hannah, "God, please, I beg you, God, all I'm asking for is to fall pregnant. All I'm asking for is a husband. All I'm asking for is a wife. All I'm asking for is this job that I've desired all of my life, is to have enough money to do this or that, or to be healthy." We met a man the other day, Anton and I. His backbone is deteriorating. He has no backbone left almost. He's in severe pain 24/7. He's crying out to God, "I beg you, God, my greatest desire, heal my back." We have things that we desire with all of our hearts. We surrender that to God by giving it to Him as it comes, raw, honestly, in an honest way, real. And then we say what Jesus did. But God, and those are the hard, tough words to say, "Not my will, but your will." And be comforted by the fact that this life is so short. And eternity will be perfect. But as for now, God might give it to us and He might not. And I do not know why. If I did, there would be thousands of people here today. Because we cannot answer those big questions. But what we do know is that God loves us. And He sees the bigger picture. I always use this example. Forgive me if you've heard it before, but it works very well. Of our little boy when he was a Caleb. He's 5 now. But when he was younger, he used to hate his car seat. And we would strap him into his car seat. And he would scream and kick and cry. And I remember once it was just me and him driving in Mpumalanga on a very bad road full of potholes. And it was actually hailing. And the wind was howling. And there were big trucks passing us all along. They all take coal to the mines and to the power stations. And it was truly dangerous. I was really nervous as I was driving. And all this while, for about 40 minutes, Caleb was screaming at the top of his lungs these words, "I do not want to be in this car seat. Take me out of the seat. I hate the seat. Take me out of the seat." So all I did, I put Hillsong on and I put it louder and louder and louder until it shut Caleb out completely. And all I heard was Hillsong United. Why? Yes, because I was absolutely, drove me completely nuts. But apart from that, he cannot see the bigger picture. He does not know how dangerous it is for him not to be strapped into that chair. He cannot see beyond his three-year-old understanding. But I can. And even though he thinks that he's dying and suffering severely because he has to sit in a beautiful new soft car seat, I know better, and I'm steering that car. And God says, you think you know, you think you understand, but you are limited. And I see the bigger picture. Just surrender, like Job. Just surrender. Give me those desires and allow me to decide. I want to read from Esther 4, verse 16. I think most of us know the story of Esther. If not, go home this afternoon, make yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up and read it. It's like fiction. It's a beautiful story. And I'm not going to recite the whole story now, but Esther saved the whole nation of Jews. And listen what she says. "Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa, and fast for me." She was the queen. She was the wife of the king. "Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, even though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die." It was against the law. Imagine this. She was married to the man. He was the king. She was the wife. It was against the law for her to go to him. Imagine it's against the law to go to your husband. Wow, that must have been very... Anyway, it's a long time ago. And if she were to go to him without him summoning her, to calling her to come, then he could just simply have her killed. And this king had a track record. He had a wife before Esther, and he sent her into exile. So there was a frame of reference. She knew this man is capable of doing whatever he wants to. He's the king, and he was not a Jew. He was not a God-fearing, God-loving king. He was just a king, just a pagan king. And Esther said, "I will go to the king, and if I must die, I will die." Which she didn't. The king favored her. But the fact is that Esther understood her calling. She understood her destiny. And she was willing to surrender her fear to God so that he can do through her what he called her to do. And the gift that God gave Esther was the looks. She was beautiful. That's why the king married her. Because she was the most beautiful girl in the whole country. Just like the fairy tales. She was the most beautiful. But it never was about the beauty. That was just the means to the end. To fulfill through her what he wanted to accomplish. God has given each one of us here a gift. And you might look in the mirror and say, well, certainly it's not beauty, which you shouldn't, because you are beautiful, made in the image of God. But God has given us a gift. And he said, this gift is a means to an end, because I want to accomplish my purposes through you. So surrender your fear. Surrender your fear. I remember the very first sermon that I was preaching was in the year 2000 in Franschhoek. We were pastoring the church there. I was 25, I think. And I said to Anton, I am ready. I want to preach now. And he said, okay, you can preach. You can work on a sermon, because he was much more experienced by then than me. And then I will help you with it. So it took me 18 hours to prepare for this sermon. So I prepared for 18 hours. And then Anton looked at it and he said, you can change this and you can do this and you can do that. And then I did not sleep at all that night. And then the next morning I was sleep deprived. And I was also up for babies, breastfeeding and changing nappies. And I was there to preach, and all my friends knew, and blessed their hearts, they all came. I did not want them there, because I was so nervous, and the church was packed, because all of my friends and everybody decided to pitch. And my whole body was shaking. I was extremely nervous, and I thought, I'm going to take this microphone and it's going to backfire on me completely. I will never preach again. This will be the end of it. But still, I felt called to it, but that was besides the point. And I went up and my hand was shaking like this, and I took the microphone and I started preaching. And by the end of that sermon, the whole church was sobbing before God on their knees. And I haven't seen deliverance like that again after any other sermon. I'm saying, God, why can you not just do that again? I was so extremely dependent on God. I had no confidence that I could do it. But I chose to surrender my fear. And often it is like standing on that cliff and having to jump, and you are honestly not sure whether God is going to catch you or not. And guess what? Sometimes you jump and you fall on your nose. You do. But then the word of God says his arm is not too short to rescue. Why did you fall? Not because God is like, I'm going to catch you. I was just tricking you. I'm not going to catch you. My 5-year-old son came to me last week. He's 5. Caleb, he says, Mom, I have a trick that I thought out all on my own. It's like, it came from him. It was his idea. I said, yes, what is it? He says, you go to a woman, you ask her to marry you. And when she says, oh, you go, trick you. But we have a couple of years to work on that, so don't worry, you will not do that to one of your daughters. But see, God is not like Caleb, and Caleb will become like Jesus. We have some time still to work on that. God will not do that. When you fall, it is because God wants you to learn some things. It is because he wants to make you strong in your character. It is because he is shaping you, because he is pressing you from every side. There's a psalm that says, you have crushed us. I'm like, why would God crush me? To get the best out of you, like an olive, to get that olive oil out. But we need to surrender our fears. And if we find ourselves in a place of comfort, where nothing is hard or challenging anymore, I don't think we are following God anymore. Because he will constantly, there are times of rest, there are, but he will constantly challenge us to surrender our fears, because fear is a part of being human. But he says all over the Bible, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. Have courage. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Even though you cannot see me, I am with you. My hand is not too short to deliver you. When you stumble, you will not fall. When you fall, I will pick you up. God is there. But if we never choose to surrender our fears, we will never become what he has called us to become. By default, being a Christian is choosing to be brave, choosing to have courage. Every single day, choosing. And after you made that choice, he is faithful and just to be there for you every second of every day. I want to read a last scripture from Nehemiah 8 verse 10. They were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah continued and he said, "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks." Doesn't that sound amazing? Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Our strength is the joy of the Lord. We sometimes go on missions to Africa. I haven't been there in a while. Anton goes ever so often, a couple of times a year. I'm hoping to be able to go again soon. And we see people there who barely have anything. They live from millimeal or something out of their gardens, which is mostly millet or millimeal or mostly something that we would regard as plain. Nothing spectacular, beans. They don't have yogurt or grapes or chocolates. Whatever they have, they share with each other. They don't have big houses with electric fences and electric gates and DSTV. But the joy that I see there in those Christians is so much more than what I see here between us. The unity and the love that they have for each other. They know true joy. And God says, sometimes I will strip you of everything, like Job. Sometimes I will not allow things in your life. Sometimes I will withhold something. Sometimes I will allow things to happen to you so that you can learn where and how to find real joy, because it is not in what you have or what you accomplish. And Job says, I have known you, but after all these terrible calamities, he says, now my eyes have seen you. Now I can see you. And my message this morning is, surrender to God. It's a process. It's a challenge. But it will liberate us to fly like eagles. It will liberate us to do. You know, if somebody asks you the question, what would you do if you had no fear? What would you do if you had no fear? Perhaps you're not able to do that now, but the more that you surrender to God, the more courageous you will become to do great things for God. And we need each other for that. But that's another sermon for another day. Let's stand. There are some of us here this morning, I really believe that some of us came this morning really, really asking God to speak to us, really, really desperate to hear something from God that will encourage us. And I want to extend an invitation this morning. If you realize that you need to surrender, maybe for some of us it is just a general surrendering. Maybe for some of us it is surrendering our hearts, being able to bring a sacrifice of worship, worshiping God when nothing in us wants to do that, trusting God when we feel so unstable and so insecure. Maybe for some of us, we have a desire that we need to surrender to God this morning. For some of us, we need to surrender fear. We fear. and we know what God is calling us to do. Or perhaps we don't even know, but we fear. And God said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind, of love, of level-headedness, being very sure of who God is and of what He can accomplish. Some of us have dreams that we need to surrender this morning. Some of us have insecurities going hand in hand with fear. Some of us have something that we want to do, but we don't think that we are able to do that. Doubting our abilities, we need to surrender that to God so that He can show us we are very much able because His Spirit is within us. And I want to ask, if that is you, won't you just come to the front and we want to pray with you? You know, God is not expecting us to be born one day and to run around the next day. He's expecting us to be committed to growth. He's expecting us to be committed to the process of healing and deliverance and growing in our lives. And I really want to tell the people that are standing here in the front, I want to tell you who perhaps do not have the courage to come out, that is absolutely fine. I really want to tell you that where you are at now in your life, that is good enough for God. That really is good enough for God. He's not asking for more. He's so blessed by the fact that you are here and that you want to. And I want to ask you, I'm going to just pray a prayer, and I want to ask if you can just there where you are standing, I want you to speak out loud. You can whisper. You don't have to speak out very loud. You can just whisper. But I want you to just, as we just give a couple of minutes for that, just to whisper to God, but don't just think it, voice it, what that thing is that you want to surrender this morning. And then I'm going to just do a prayer. I'm not going to ask for individual prayer for you. I'm just going to do a prayer over you. And just trust in God that as you surrender, He will assure you just of His presence, just of His being with you, being committed to you, absolutely committed to journey with you, and really helping you every day, Monday to Sunday, in your process of surrendering. So while the music is playing, I'm just going to give you a minute, and I want to ask those who are not here in the front, won't you just pray for these people, just pray for them as they just bring their things that they want to surrender to God. Just whisper it.